New Jersey homeowners have the notorious distinction of enduring the highest property tax rate in the nation, and many see consolidating some of the state's 565 municipalities as a way to ease that burden. Not so fast, according to study results from the Blaustein Local Government Research Center at Rutgers. Let's get details from study co-author Mark Pfeiffer. Mr. Pfeiffer, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Now, on the face of it, it seems like sharing services seems like a money-saving idea. I'm sure that's part of the calculus of those considering corporate mergers.
Well, that indeed was the assumption that people have been making in New Jersey, and that assumption has gone back for 80 years. And it's been an assumption that nobody ever looked at to see, you know, what do the numbers hold up for it? And what Dr. Caprio and I did was try to look at some numbers to see, you know, does this make sense? And our study intended to see if we could find some metrics that we could apply to see what makes sense. And as we say, you know, does size actually matter in this case?
So let's do that equivalency test. Obviously, there's a range of sizes of towns, municipalities, townships, boroughs, et cetera.
What we tried to do, you know, out of the 565 municipalities, we decided that our metric would be a per capita cost, because that's what focuses on the cost of services. It's not directly related to property taxes, because that's based on how much value you have in your municipality, what the rateable base is. So we wanted to look at cost of services, thinking that was a better metric to use. And so we calculated for 2011 and 2012 what the cost per capita was for each municipality. We then divided the municipalities into population groups, so there was an equal number of municipalities in each population group. One of the interesting things we found on our first pass was that at the low end of population, costs were twice as high. And we discovered that most of those municipalities, about 50 of them in that group, were resort municipalities. And those folks had unusual costs because they had to gear up for summer tourism population. So we decided, let's take those out because they really are outliers and very different. So when we take what basically became, I think it was 501 municipalities, divided them up into 10 population groups, we found that the cost per capita didn't differ all that much from group to group.
So wouldn't it still hold that if towns of similar size were to merge, they would enjoy cost savings?
They could. And we saw that, for example, in the case of the Princetons, of Princeton Borough and Princeton Township, who consolidated last year. What was unique about Princeton and what tells you of how this stuff has to work is that the Princetons, over the years, had already created a regional board of education. They had a regional library. They had a joint fire department. They had a joint health department and a joint recreation department. And they realized in the end they really were one community because they had so much integration of services and the things that people did, they perceived themselves as one.
How many isolated situations can you see it being applicable to?
There's not a lot, and that's the problem. And you have to look at things very specifically because there are so many things that have to align in order for a consolidation to be a successful one. The perception of being one community is important. The fact that you have to have an equal mix of rateables so that when you do consolidate, average property taxes don't go down for some people and then go up for others. Because if you're going to have taxes go up for people, they're likely not going to vote for a consolidation, no matter how much better it might be seen to be.
Governor Chris Christie and Senate President Steve Sweeney certainly think consolidation makes sense. To the extent that you disagree, where might you otherwise steer them to look for savings in property tax rates?
Well, I think for years, one of the big alternatives that local governments have in New Jersey is to pursue shared services. And we've had a lot of success in that since those programs started in the mid-70s. And they should be encouraged. Various administrations over the years have provided all kinds of incentives to local governments, from rewards for doing shared services, kind of the carrot approach, funding implementation costs and funding studies. That's one area. Privatization is another area. We have the private sector is now capable of providing more and different services to local governments. So in some cases, it may make some sense to contract services out. Another alternative is for counties to get more engaged, for county governments who work on a regional basis, that they can provide some services to municipalities, and a lot of them have already been doing it.
Mr. Pfeiffer, as we're speaking, are there actual municipal consolidation proposals in place in New Jersey?
There is a citizen-based commission that was created over a year ago in Union County with Scotch Plains and Fanwood, two neighboring municipalities. That hasn't gotten a lot of traction because it was created by a citizens group outside of the role of the local government. So the participation of the local government has been very limited with that. Those two communities, however, ventured into a number of good, solid shared services agreements that make sense.
Thanks for shedding light on this very difficult and pervasive issue in New Jersey.
Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate the opportunity.
Mark Pfeiffer is co-author of a study from the Blaustein Local Government Research Center at Rutgers. We'll have highlights of the study at our website, newsworks.org, and invite listeners' comments and reaction. This is WHYY.